Sustaining alive! Sustaining alive! Sustaining alive!
Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Everything but the girl.
I wouldn't have got that. Would not have got it.
It was on the tip of my tongue, but it wasn't. Thanks, Texter.
Now, Rita Steele.
Yes,
to... We're talking doomsday predictions.
We are. I was just reminiscing about the 90s when I didn't know this stuff existed.
I don't think this counts as doomsday, though. I think doomsday is more like an asteroid. Whereas this won't be like one... It won't be like, oh, it clicks to the next day and everything just explodes. It'll be like a slow, painful death, won't it?
So but while we're on doomsday, there is supposedly an asteroid coming in September.
It's more of a gloomsday.
This is a gloomsday.
Gloomsday.
Yeah.
Gloomsday it is.
Okay.
Wait, is there an asteroid coming as well? And we're not going to be here to see it.
It's like 1 in 16,000 chance or 1 in 7,500 chance it's going to hit us. So it's quite high. But after this news, you may want to maybe pro the asteroid. So, some of you may have seen some pretty sobering headlines floating around if you follow social and some of the news pieces, that the world is going to be in chaos.
I've got that Aerosmith song in my head from Armageddon because I'm thinking about how we might have to go up on the asteroid and blow it up. Just apologies, everyone. Carry on.
The articles have been stating that we've got 15 to 30 years left on Earth.
I thought it was 50.
No, 2050.
Oh, I see. I made a mistake. Don't make that mistake.
I
need to half my plans. Just to hurry up my life plans now.
Quite a bit. 50 to 15. This is getting worse. So I thought I'd talk about some of them. Johnny's already looking a little bit concerned.
No, this is good. This is good.
Okay.
Let's talk about it.
Okay. So I think probably it's worth just saying that the report is actually from, it's a scenario analysis, and it's by an Australian think tank called Breakthrough National. So they're not scientists as such, but they have taken scientific reviews and then
how many people
analyzed them. I don't actually know that. Good question. But there is one particular author who has been the spokesperson of it. And he has been pretty honest about the fact that, you know, this is a worst case scenario. But the job of a think tank is to sort of lobby the government is one of the jobs. But think tanks do try and raise awareness for people. And I think it's fair to say that with like insurance companies are starting to look at some of these models and these scenarios, and some of them even in the worst case or mid case range. And so if they're looking at it, then I think we should probably be thinking about it too. So how they've got to this is what normally happens, and the IPCC, so the UN's climate change group, we've talked about them lots before, but what normally happens is they take scientists and they get them to model out our climate change based on like a couple of factors. So let's say they look at the average carbon or greenhouse gas in the atmosphere, and they'll look at the correlation of the temperature. So they then model it out and they say, here's a high, a low, and a mid-range likely scenario for us. And that's great, but they then go on to just usually talk about the low end, because scientists tend to not be very dramatic. They don't like drama, and they certainly don't want to panic people, and the UN don't want to panic people either. So that's sort of how we get to these numbers like, oh, we should stay below 1.5, which there is zero evidence for us being able to do at this point. So what this think tank's then gone and done is they've gone, okay, well, we just keep talking about this nice scenario, nice to have scenario, but what would happen if we actually factor in all of the processes that go into climate change? And we've talked before about positive feedback loops. Can you guys sort of remember those? They sound good, but they're not. So they're things like when something kind of reinforces, a process gets reinforced by that process. So an example is albedo. So that is like the ice sheets. We've got big ice sheets on both the northern and the southern hemispheres. And they reflect heat and light and heat back into space, so it never really is able to add to the heat in our atmosphere. Mm-hmm. But as they melt, they do less of that because yes. there's less of them, and then that heats us up more, and then that melts them more, and that heats us more.
Everyone paint their roof white.
Do you know what? They've actually looked at that, and it's not a bad idea.
Everyone make white roads?
Yeah, and white roads, yeah. Mm. So there is ways we can mitigate that. I don't know
if concrete ever, white, not grey.
Yeah, I don't know if it would ever really match quite what the polar ice caps can do. But that's an example of a positive feedback loop that at the moment isn't necessarily factored into these models. So what they've done is they've taken all the possible positive feedback loops that are already happening. So this albedo effect, they've also taken into consideration the soil and oceans, which can hold carbon. Mm. And as the ocean heats, it can no longer do that job. As we, farm soils, we're releasing carbon. So they've kind of added in all these other processes. And that's where they have got to this figure. They're saying that based on that, they actually think we're probably on track to hit 4.5 degrees of climate rise, which is, from everything I've read from my studies as well, it sounds scary, and the result is extremely scary, but we aren't doing anything to stop that at this point. So
we think, oh, that's not too bad, but there's most of the life on the planet has evolved to live within a certain temperature range, and even a shift in a couple of degrees is like actually totally catastrophic for
everything. Absolutely.
All of the systems.
But humans are catastrophic to just about every other life on the planet as well. So, I mean, how long does it take for this degrees to change? Like, so in 30 years, it'll be 4 degrees warmer?
Yes, that's what this report's saying. So by 2050, we're looking at it sort of four degree rise. Mm. And just to give you some context, the last time the Earth was 4 degrees warmer was 5 to 10 million years ago.
I guess I'm trying to figure out. Sorry, how will that temperature come on? Well, like say in 10 years time, it'll be 0.5, and then in the last 10, it'll ramp exponential. We'll go, oh shit, it's getting hot real quick.
Yeah. So based on these sort of these positive feedback loops, it is like a very much so a hockey stick shape.
Wow, okay.
Like it happens because then all of a sudden these
That'll
things that were holding
a lot of things up then.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of like, at the moment they're kind of looking at things and they're going, oh well, we've had 0.2 degrees of warming every
year. Yeah, we're sponging it up. Okay.
I mean, a really good example of that actually is the ocean. The cool. Sea level rise, because people keep going, oh, well, we've only had this much rise, and if it just keeps going at this rate, and it's like, but it's not going to keep going at this rate. And even when the Earth stops heating, there's going to be years and years, the water level will still rise for a while because there's a delayed effect of these things. So, and same with carbon. Carbon takes a long time to get out. I think it's about 200 years to get out of the atmosphere. So you're talking about we could stop tomorrow and we still aren't seeing the effects of the 1900s until another 100 years. Mm. So, that's the problem, is that there's a bit of a delay effect.
Like a climate inertia. Really, isn't it?
Yeah, it
just
is.
Keeps on trucking.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's mine, but you can use it, everyone.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Inertia. And what I get from heaps of people all the time is that the Earth's always been changing.
John says that all the time.
The Earth's temperature has always been changing.
He just goes
so
on.
I thought I'd just talk really briefly about the Earth fluctuates, because it does. So there are two kind of two states that the Earth has been in. One is greenhouse Earth, which we'll talk about in a minute, and the other one is ice house Earth. So the greenhouse Earth is when there is no ice sheets left, and the ice house Earth is when there is ice sheets present. So this is the era that our society and human civilizations have evolved in, and is an ice house Earth. And within the ice house Earth, there has been periods, fluctuating periods as well, called interglacial and glacial periods. And these two fluctuations, in between these two fluctuations, they go on because of natural cycles that we can't change because of the shape of the Earth, the wobble of the Earth, and the cycle that we're on around the sun, because it's not a perfect circle. Mm-hmm. So those when we're in the ice house Earth, the period we're in now, there's still some fluctuations, but they are out of our control. And that's when people say things like, oh, we're supposed to be in a ice age right now. And it's like, yeah, because we are furthest away from the Earth based on furthest away from the sun based on these, they're called Milankovitch cycles,
like elliptical motions
that we yeah totally, but we're still heating, so it's like something's fuck. Not going quite right. And just to give you a bit of an idea, the last interglacial period, so the last like warm period within our lifetimes, was 650,000 years ago. Within human, within humans living on the planet, was 650,000 years ago, and it was about 1 to 2 degrees warmer. So about the same level as it was in 2016. So we've got a little bit hotter. Mm. And just so you know, back then the sea level was 6 to 9 meters higher. So, yeah, I know.
So there were less ice caps?
Yes. Yeah. So they still were there, but there was less of them.
Mm. Has the Earth just always had the same amount of water on it? Is that like a given?
Yes.
Dumb question coming up. Here it is. Cheers.
Yes. Water is actually considered a greenhouse gas.
Right.
So, and that's another like climate change skeptic thing. But we don't consider it one as such because it's cycling, like because we need it, I guess.
Yeah.
And to some degree, we absolutely need carbon in the atmosphere too, or else we become this. We become frozen Earth, and it's not very nice to live on a frozen planet if we're not warm. So we do need some of it. We just don't need heaps of it, and that's why you get extremes, because more water gets into the atmosphere. So and then more energy and get more rain.
Should we be pushing AI so AI can fix all of this because we're not smart enough, or should we be trying to have real smart kids?
I have a friend who's really big on AI and how we'll be fine because AI will take over. But AI is only going to rise. It's still going to need boron and cobalt and all these minerals that have to be mined somehow.
Maybe in the early stages, but probably find some more sentient way to exist.
Well, yeah. I don't know. If they do a better job than us, then power to them at this point. Yeah.
I think they'll do a better job without us. I think that's the point. That's the dark kind of reality.
The dark reality.
I guess the thing is, it's the key is more education for everyone. Smaller populations, people
using
living
less,
smarter.
Yeah. Mm. The only thing that, the only thing I can really see saving us is a real change in our economic system and the concept of growth and GDP is fundamentally flawed. Mm. And we don't seem to be making any major shifts away from that. We're making tiny steps in New Zealand with things like well-being budgets that allow us to measure other things like well-being, but it's so small and so insignificant that...
Do you know what I find kind of like a microcosm of the whole situation is kind of how we treat ourselves and like what we eat and like how the world's quite obese, right? We can't even take care of our fucking selves. So how can we take care of the planet? You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
I think
we just have to also recognize when things are happening that they're more complex than we understand, and just because you don't fully understand climate change and you have some questions around it and maybe you don't fully believe what they're saying, like they're the experts here, and there's no benefit to them lying to us about this data. So you just kind of have to realize that these people are smarter than you, and unfortunately what's happening is that we just don't have enough solutions. These people that scientists can only tell you the reports, and this think tank can only tell you.
I don't even think it's solutions. I think it's we have a kind of a lack of global implementation of these things. There's no like hey, this is it kind of nobody wants that, because everybody's afraid of losing their freedoms and such, but it's almost like we need a Captain Planet.
We do.
Come on down. A little bit of heart.
Back to AI again.
Heart. Yeah, and the asteroids.
Someone said, what about sunspot cycles?
What about them?
I don't know anything about those.
Yeah, they do. They're not as timed, I don't believe, as the Milankovitch cycles, which is they know one is every 42,000 years, the other's every 100,000 years. Mm. I think sunspots are slightly more random than that, but they don't have enough of an impact. And also, just for those that think that the temperature is getting hotter because of them, scientists can measure incoming heat and outgoing heat. So if there is sunspots that do increase the heat very slightly, they can actually measure that anyway. So that's definitely not what's heating up the Earth. It is our obsession with fossil fuels in particular.
And someone has texted them saying, has Earth been 4 degrees warmer before? And what was living then? Well,
yes.
We were, or humans were, in some form, right?
Well, I think a microcosm. So it was
Six hundred and something thousand years ago, were you talking
about? No, millions. It was millions of years.
Carry the four.
Last time the Earth was 4 degrees warmer was between 5 and 10 million years ago. Modern humans have only been around for 200,000 years, and our civilization has only risen in the last 6,000. So, 5 and 10 million years ago, I can't remember the name of the epoch there was, but we were probably jellyfish or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, we weren't human. It wasn't. Yeah,
I was definitely a
five
jellyfish.
And 10 million years ago is. Mm. The other thing is that we, you know, small population might be able to exist in these in this kind of extinction period, but the way that we live our lives, I mean, this report is saying things like 1 billion people will be displaced and fighting for survival. That's a lot of people fighting for survival.
And we'll be fighting for water and food mostly.
They reckon Mumbai, Hong Kong, Lagos and Manila will all be abandoned due to flooding. I mean, they're some of the biggest cities in the world. Mm. So where are those people going to go, you know? And then all of a sudden you've got all these refugees.
Well, probably up in the hills, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, they're not going to be able to, those hills aren't going to be able to sustain that
Except
many people.
Except for those people living up in Aratea.
I was thinking about more people living up in Milano.
We've got bigger problems at the moment, man. So I mean, 50% of the population was subject to lethal heat for 20 days of the year. So with it saying lethal is beyond the threshold of human survivability. And this is the other thing is that, you know, wealthy nations will be able to survive longer because we'll go inside and put on aircon, you know. But that's going to increase.
Well, we potentially go underground.
You know, I thought that when I was a kid, I just assumed we would all live underground and we'd have houses that had, like, roofs that came over in the day.
But you've gone and taught yourself that is impossible.
I didn't say that was impossible at all. Isn't there somebody that's done that? A Kiwi's gone and made a house like that, haven't they? Is it Jason Kerrison, maybe?
I think, yes, the Kiwi bird does make a nest in the ground.
Lives in it.
Does little screams at night and scares people.
Bumblebees also live underground.
Actually, that's what kiwis are screaming about. They're like, fucking climate! That's what that screaming actually
is. Nocturnal. I'd never thought of us just becoming nocturnal.
Hey.
You never know. But, I mean, we won't be able to make the food because the food will burn in the fields. So anyway, listeners, I'm really sorry that this hasn't been the most positive topic of the day.
It's interesting, though.
Yeah, and it gives you food for thought because I think when we talk about 1.5 degrees, it is a best. Remember, that's like a best case scenario. And you know, I don't know. The other thing that frustrates me is when people are like, "Oh, you know, this is all a hoax or whatever," and I'm like, "But worst case scenario is that we actually just." Live better.
You
totally.
Jerk.
The worst case scenario if we do nothing is that we all die.
Oh, like, yeah. Or this becomes walk with Johnny and Big Hungry or ride with Johnny and Big Hungry. Maybe not driving. Hey.
I'm all for that.
Okay.
Get on your bike, everyone. All right, Rita.
Thanks for having me. I hope everyone's feeling okay after that.
That was Sustainin' Alive on 95 BFM. Oh, no,